all the glory, Lord. Give you all the praise. All right. Praise God. Everybody say decisions. Now say it three times. Decisions. 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 Now we're starting a new focus today because we're on, we're still talking about in Christ, but we're narrowing it down to wisdom and decision making. Everybody say wisdom and decision making. And decision making. So we want you to this month, and we invite you, and the Lord is inviting us to walk in a next level wisdom and decision making. Now, it is said, I'm not accurate. It's not my research. It's not my scientific facts. But it's said that on average we have 35,000 or more thoughts a day coursing through our minds. And, of course, with that, there's 35,000 or more decisions that we have to make every single day. That's quite a bit, right? And now what we have to think about, you know, because they even say that 229 decisions are made just about what to eat. Now, you have to ask yourself, everybody said decisions. All right, you guys look at me. Don't get distracted with the screen, because we can get the notes. But I want you to be locked in, right? And decisions. What kind of decisions does the Lord want us to make? Mainly wise and not foolish. Foolish is anything based just on feelings, your flesh, or you're out of frustrations. Because many of us can kind of recall things that we've said out of frustration. Things that we said when we were furious or angry. Things that we did because we were not feeling the right way in our emotional state of mind. Or out of our flesh, meaning what we desired, what we craved, what we had an appetite for. You know, we yielded to that because we were feeling a certain way. Somebody say praise the Lord. So when we make decisions, we want to make them in Christ and not outside of Christ. Right? And the big decision every day is I'm going to step and walk into living Christ and not live outside of Christ. I don't care what's going on. Every day you should make that initial part of your getting up and getting going decision that I'm going to live in Christ. I'm not going to live outside and in crisis today. Somebody say praise the Lord. So I'm going to read several opening scriptures and kind of talk through them and walk you through them. He's got right here on the screen. You can capture those. But 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, but of him, that's talking about Jesus Christ, you are in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I am in Christ Jesus. Now let's reflect that on the community. You have, when you take communion today, you got to remember, I am in Christ. The body and blood represents my in Christness. Who became? It doesn't say who will become. When you became in Christ, he became for us. Oh, glory to God. Wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ, our Lord, became our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification and redemption when we became in Christ. Wisdom, kind of a lengthy definition I'm going to give you. Wisdom is a natural and spiritual discipline approach to living. A natural and spiritual discipline approach to living, whereby we operate and flow from a spiritual perspective. Everybody say spiritual perspective. Through Christ-like discernment. Through Christ-like discernment. So your discernment has to be through Christ and like Christ. That means you see things the right way. You see things clearly, what's right, what's wrong. What's righteous, what's unrighteous. What's holy, what's unholy. What's godly, what's ungodly. Christ-like discernment. So it's got Christ-like discernment. Applying both the natural and the spiritual knowledge into my situation, which brings to pass the will of God and purpose of God, causing me to be wise. every day in the month of July, God is calling us to be wise. If we've been foolish, there's an invitation for us to be wiser. Amen. Everybody say decisions. All right. Colossians 2:3. And in him are all treasures of divine wisdom. Amplified classic here. You see it up there. Comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. And all riches of spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and lie hidden. In who? Christ. Everybody say in Christ. So treasures of divine wisdom are hidden from us. Not from us, but for us. Not from us, but for us, right? So we discover and discern and download this wisdom in Christ. Everybody say every day. So you should need to be saying, do I have my brains wired up and wised up to the wisdom of Christ? Because this wisdom is spiritual wisdom, heavenly wisdom. It flows up from your spirit to your mind and your soul. Somebody say, and it's offered to us every day as Christians. Praise God. All right. And then Luke 21:15, amplified. For I myself will give you a mouth and such utterance and wisdom. Now, again, if you're like more of a talkative person, sometimes we can get in trouble by running our mouth so much in the morning that we kind of cancel out wisdom and we start on the pathway of foolishness and folly because we're talking based on what we feel and see and we'll figure it out at that moment instead of tapping into the wisdom of God. But Jesus said in a situation where you're being troubled or tempted or in tribulation that he will give you not only a mouth and utterance what to say, and wisdom, how to say it, when to say it, when to keep your mouth shut, when to learn the vocabulary of silence, learn when to wait. He said, I'll give you a mouth and I'll give you wisdom that all of your foes combined will be unable to stand against or refute. In other words, the Lord's telling us, I don't care how many people are lined up against you or how many enemies are arrayed up against you, I'll give you a mouth and I'll give you wisdom just like I had it. Because when they wanted to throw him out the temple and throw stones at him or throw him off the cliff, when they kicked him out of church, he walked right past through them. You never saw Jesus fighting back, clapping back, talking back to his enemies. So he wants you to have a mouth just like he had a mouth and have wisdom just like he has wisdom. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, isn't that good? So it helps us from overreacting and acting irrational and erratic and certainly unwise. Because we don't think before we speak. We just feel it and spew it. And God wants us to learn. God wants us to grow, to be able to temper our tongue like he had. Because he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I hear my Father do. Praise God. He paused when they accused him right in the middle of his teaching service. They threw a naked lady in front of him and said she'd been caught in adultery. He said, Jesus paused and stooped down. He said, he didn't say, what are you doing throwing that lady in here on the floor? Don't you see I'm teaching? No, he didn't run off at the mouth and combat them. He just stood on the ground and wrote until he heard the wisdom of God, until he heard the wisdom of his Father. And then he rose up and said, if you're without, because they say, Moses said we're supposed to stone her to death. You know, I would have killed this ministry if he did allow stoning right in the middle of church. Public stoning of a woman caught in adultery. But everybody said, Jesus operating in wisdom. Jesus operated in wisdom. So he rose up and said, he that's without sin, let him first cast the stone. So they stopped dropping. Then he went back to the ground and started writing. He didn't talk too much. He just made one statement and went back down on the ground. Then he looked up. Everybody accusing that woman was gone. Somebody said, that's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God. All right? So he promises a mouth to speak wisely and wisdom. He helps us, keeps us from overreacting, acting irrationally. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In how much wisdom? All wisdom. So we're invited to stop saying, I don't know how to count. I can't remember. That's not wise talk. That's unwise. In some cases, it's foolish talk. Because we're talking against Christ's ability. Because in Christ, we can do all things. In Christ, I can do all things. I can't take it anymore. Well, is that the truth? Or is that just a statement of frustration? Come on now. So we're invited this month to be wise with our words. To receive the word of Christ to dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with grace in our heart to the Lord. So we have a revealed word, which is the word of Christ, and the spoken word, which God speaks directly to you through your spirit, and then which you need to be filled up with. So our friends could tell us at some point, what are you hearing from the Lord? I don't know. We said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So some of us sometimes need to take our focus off money and put our focus on ministry of the ministry of the word. Do I have the word hidden in my heart or filled up in my heart? That's the reason we read devotions in the morning. So we can be devoted to what? To dedicating our heart and disciplining our flesh through the word. So we need to have the word abiding. How do you know how much word abides in you? By how much word? How do you know if I'm filled up with the word? Because when the devil hits you with something, what comes out of you? Is it what does the word say? Or, man, you know, I can't stand. We have to deal with this again. Oh, the washer broke down again. Or the car broke down again. Or this broke down again. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we need to let it work. So the revealed word is to teach us and to admonish us. So we use that word in us, filled in us with wisdom to teach, which is instruct, instill, illuminate truth. Or to admonish. What is the admonishing? Admonish means to remind. Sometimes it means to rebuke, reprimand, reprove, and reinforce truth. So sometimes our faith friends need to admonish us because they need to remind us that God still heals, that God still delivers, that God still saves. Because sometimes we get mollywopped with a situation or pain and we don't allow anybody to admonish us and say, remind us, remember, by his stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24, still in the Bible. Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. That's still in the Bible. Amen. Healing is not gone or passed away. The healing covenant still remains today. That's in the Bible. And so we need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to be rebuked because we talk about our feelings so much. Rebuke just means I'm get up close to you and tell you that we need to correct this. We need to correct this speaking like this. Because we get old and grown and adult prideful, and what do we say? What do we say? I can't help it how I feel. I'm just telling you how I feel. Well, sometimes you need to get rebuked. In love, of course. Somebody say in love. So if nobody can rebuke you, you need to check your pride level at the table. Lord, I'm too proud because nobody can tell me nothing, not even your friends. Amen. And then a church is always a reminder. Oh, yeah, Lord, thank you for that reminder. Oh, yeah, Lord, thank you for that reprimand. If the Bible says whom the Lord loves, he chastens or corrects. So if the Lord doesn't chasten you or correct you or discipline you, then he doesn't love you. But you got to be able to receive correction. Correction is good. Correction is good for what? Direction, protection, and perfection. Everybody say, correction is good. And so we always say at the communion table, he says, examine or judge yourself. That means make the corrections. I ran off at the mouth too much last month. I got to be more wiser with my words. I got to be more intentional with my speech. I got to stop all this foolishness and fooling around and folly talk. Everybody good? Somebody say praise the Lord. So a teaching instruct. Now let's read James. Let's go to James chapter 1. Everybody good? All right. Thank you so much. James chapter 1, it says here in James chapter 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if anyone lacks wisdom, look at verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask how, in faith, nothing with no doubting, nothing wavering. And for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all the ways. In other words, he's indecisive. Help me, Lord, convey this correctly. When you have not arrived at your manifestation, or if you're not making a connection, a faith connection to the promise of God yet, and you say, man, I've been hitting this thing and dealing with this thing much longer than I think I'm supposed to be dealing with it. Because if you hadn't gotten victory, or if you in this church today and online, if you haven't got an answer in 3 days, you're invited to ask for more wisdom. Because it's either something I don't know enough about, I don't have revelation concerning, or I just am ignorant of it. What's the source or root issue in this trial, in this trouble, in this trauma, in this problem? There's always a key issue. Wisdom always finds out what's the key issue here. So the devil will throw all these smoke screens at you. He'll throw all this fanfare and fireworks, and it looks like everything's hitting on you from every direction. But that's to torment your mind and say you're getting overwhelmed. And that's where most Christians that aren't skilled have a nervous breakdown or get depressed. Because they think, I can't do anything about this. This is too much. Not knowing that God's too much. He's too big of a match for the devil. You're his child. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he said, if you're lacking something, victory or an answer in 3 days, you're invited to do what? Ask for wisdom. Or say, ask for wisdom. So you got to ask for wisdom. So he said, ask in faith. That means I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to apply my faith toward that. I don't know how to assign power to that. I'm unskillful. I don't know, Lord. I don't know how to get my note of victory or my answer from you. Are y'all here this morning? And so you got to make a decision. I need to ask for wisdom. And I don't want to be wishy-washy or what we call vacillating back and forth, or the Bible says in the King James, wavering or doubting back and forth, tossing back and forth. Well, am I going to get my healing spiritually, or am I going to go through the doctor? Make a decision. If it's the doctor, then get your faith lined up and assigned up to deal with it through the medical system. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. I was praying with a pastor yesterday. He was in a car accident. And, he wrist all bent, shoulder, neck. I mean, he was swiped. Pray for me. we made a decision. I said, no, I'm not going to pray with you and agree with you until we go to the Word and get our faith lined up. Because, see, some people need to make that decision. I'm going to go to the Word of Christ and get revelation of what my faith legs need to stand on. Stand on the Word. And then I can pray, not out ahead of my faith, but with faith. He said, let him ask in faith, right? So I'm asking for wisdom in faith. What do I do, Lord? How do I do it? What's the channel you're going to bring my deliverance? Or what's my responsibility in this matter? You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't know how to do it. You don't know when to do it. You don't have time in about it. Ask for wisdom. Everybody say, ask for wisdom. And he said, ask in faith. So you ask in faith. So faith does what? It believes and it receives. With the heart you believe, with the mouth you confess or receive. So you say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking for wisdom. Now, this is a prayer you could ask for every day. Everybody say, every day. If you're going on a job and all kind of trouble and hell and high waters on your job, you make doggone sure that you're asking for wisdom before you walk in on that job. Lord, everybody's quitting. All my workload's gotten heavier. I'm getting more stressed out. I'm tired coming home. All this drama and trouble. Ask for wisdom on how to deal with that job. In Christ. You got to know how to act and live and respond to in that job in Christ, not with the crisis. Woo! Y'all making me work too hard this morning. Okay, let's keep going. All right. Next slide, guys. Please, thank you. Now, I'm going to show you this chart in just a minute, but I'm going to read one scripture to you that I don't have up there. It's in the Living Bible. Now, you can't get it on a YouVersion because it doesn't, the YouBible app, because it's not in there. So I had to look this up on Bible Gateway. So, I hear you, Khalil. All right. All right. Now, write this reference down. You can go back and read it, but you have to go through the Bible Gateway to get this translated. You can't get it off of YouVersion Bible app. It's the Living Bible, the TLB, Colossians 2, 6 through 8. Now, let's read it together. I'm going to read it here, but you just follow along with me. Colossians 2, 6 through 8. And verse 6 says, in the Living Bible, it says, And now just as you trusted Christ to save you. Now listen to this. As you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Trust him too for each day's problems. Now where we get in trouble is we don't trust God or trust Christ too for each day's problem. We think, okay, Christ, you did all you can do. I know you saved me. I got a ticket to heaven. I'm born again. I'm saved. But every day you got some drama. Every day you got troubles. Every day problems are presented to you because the devil never takes a day off. Can somebody say amen to that? He said, trust him too. Trust Christ too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him. So I'm supposed to live in Christ. Verse 7, let your roots grow down into him and grow up, draw up nourishment from him. Let your roots go down deep into Jesus, into Christ, and draw nourishment from Christ. Now you got to think about it. Last week, last month, how many times did you draw nourishment from Christ? Now Christ is not Jesus' last name. Remember, it's the anointed one and his anointing. The anointing makes ministry and life work better without burdens, without being bogged down. Amen. It is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. So that's who Jesus was, anointed what he was anointed with. And that anointing that was on Jesus is available for you and me on a regular daily basis. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we draw our nourishment from him. In verse 7, it says, let your roots grow down deep in him and draw up nourishment from him. See that you go on and growing in the Lord. Go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done. Amen. Verse 8, the Living Bible again. Colossians 2:8. Don't let others spoil your faith. Uh-oh. So we get in trouble. And joy with their philosophies, their wrong and shallow answers built on men's thoughts and ideas instead on what Christ has said. Now, Jesus was the living word. He was the word made flesh, so we have the written word and the living word. All are one in the same. So we got to receive instruction that we don't let someone else spoil our faith and our joy with the problems that are today or that will be tomorrow. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So what do we have to do? You can write this down. Trust Christ. Don't put your trust in the crisis and negative circumstances. And I know if you have a tendency to be really a fact reporter, you want to tell everybody what's wrong with me, what's wrong with my circumstances. Now, worship teaches us to zoom out of that. That's why he said you praise God, you thank him. You got to have your worship level up this season. You can't get behind on your praise. Praise the Lord. Is everybody getting something out of this today? You can't get behind on your praise. So what does worship do? Worship helps you zoom out of what's wrong with you and what's wrong with your circumstances and zoom in on what's right with God and what's righteous about Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So they can throw you in prison. You can get in a car accident. And particularly when you have somebody you know get into a tragedy, you don't carry that burden like you're sad without hope. You still keep your faith and you still keep your joy. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we are to start each day with Christ. That's second. Now here's the assignment. You know, here's the opportunity and the invitation. Are you going to start each day in Christ or outside of Christ? Now this is where we take communion and say, well, I got to change my habits. Because if I get up and I got to have my coffee and I got to eat breakfast and I got to feed my flesh and I got to watch the news, I'm already getting spoiled. I hadn't read my Bible. I haven't gotten the word of Christ in me yet. I haven't become in Christed yet. Because remember, we have choices. That's our freedom. We're talking about, you know, 4th of July was about Independence Day or freedom. Freedom is good in Christ, but you have a freedom to choose. You have a freedom to speak, but you have a choice to make. But God wants you to make the right choice and the wise choice. That means I need to get my flesh under and I need to put my spirit up in Christ every day. So I wake up in the morning and I become in Christ. I don't lay around to 9 o'clock at night. Oh, I got to read my Bible. When you spend all day outside of Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. How do we do that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. We practice Philemon 6. Our faith becomes effective through the acknowledging of every good work that's in us in Christ. Everything that's good is in us. So we got to acknowledge what Jesus did, who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for me through his finished works of this death, burial, and resurrection. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then secondly, we got to rejoice in the Lord. Why do we rejoice in the Lord? Because if you don't rejoice in the Lord, according to Philippians 3, 1 through 3, it says it's unwise or unsafe. If we don't rejoice in the Lord, we're going to have confidence and we're going to have this craving of our flesh coming up where we want to talk about our three favorite people. What's our three favorite people? Me, myself, and I. And we always talk about it from a selfish standpoint, what I'm going through, what I need, what I got to have, what's going on with me, how I feel, what's my frustrations right now, how I'm messed up because I don't have this, I don't know this, I can't buy this. We got to rejoice in the Lord. So we have to learn to rejoice, and rejoicing is a choice. It's a decision you make. And I'm telling you, it's a wise decision to make first thing in the morning that I'm not going to rejoice in what's going wrong or what's wrong with me. I'm going to rejoice in what's right and what's righteous about Jesus. I'm going to rejoice in the Jesus, my Savior, my Lord. He's my healer. He's my redeemer. His blood still works today. I rejoice in Jesus. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Every day is a new day in Christ. Every day is a receiving day. This is a new day for miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. Third, I put on the mind of Christ. In other words, God says, I offer you my brains. I offer you my thinking. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So let means it's a choice. It's a decision you make. I'm going to either take my brains or his brains. The wisest choice is to take his brains, is to upgrade your thinking. You got to put on the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says it this way. We have the mind of Christ, Amplified Classic, and we hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. In other words, I want your thoughts, Lord. I want your feelings. I want your purposes. All that mind, will, and emotion stuff needs to be just like Jesus had it and just like Jesus has it right now. Lord, I need your mind to be my mind. Praise God. I need your emotions and feelings and purposes to be my feelings and emotions and purposes in Jesus' name. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound, what? Mind. Well-balanced, calm, self-controlled. Not out of control. Somebody say, praise God. Because where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. So I got to think about what I'm thinking about. Why do we do that? Because we make our faith effective. Second, we make it is a safe and wise decision. Third, we receive what Christ has to offer and give us what gives us when we rejoice and place no confidence and credibility in our flesh, feelings, or the flow of the world around us. So if we rejoice in the Lord, we're saying, I'm going into a safe place because I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm not trusting in all the junk and drama in my life. But you got to make that choice to rejoice. Rejoicing means you rekindle refill your joy. You start your day with joy. You start the trouble that comes into your life with joy. You start off with joy. That's why James said, count it all joy. Miserable people like to complain and tell other people what's wrong with me. That's what the world teaches. You made the one wise choice when you do that. He said, count it all joy. Everybody say, count it all joy. And you might have to go to 10. But you at least should go to 3 or 4. Make the choice to rejoice. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then, of course, fourth, we need to tune in and think properly spiritually minded versus carnally minded. Carnal mind, the Bible says in Romans 8, is death. But the spiritual mind is life and peace. Some of us really need peace this morning because there's confusion and chaos coursing through our spirit and soul. Some of you cry internally, and some of you cry externally because there's no peace. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's offering us peace every day. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, we're almost done here. We're going to finish this slide and then conclude. We are to prevent others and other things from spoiling us. Now, spoiling, what is spoiling? That's an old ancient English term. But it just means ruin, contaminate, strip away, harmfully intoxicate, or pollute. Now, you know, people can do that to you if you choose to let them do that to you. Decisions. Everybody say decisions. So you got to make a decision. I got some juicy gossip. I can't. Because it's going to spoil me. Anybody ever picked out a bread that stayed on the shelf too long? But beyond the expiration date? And what kind of grows on it? That green mold, right? That green stuff. You're like, ugh, I don't want that. But think about that, what happens to your faith and your joy when you let people spoil you with their junk. That's why you got to have a no gossip policy. No strife. I'm not going to complain this month. Because I hang around complainers, they're going to spoil me. They're going to spoil my joy. They're going to spoil my faith. That means they're going to ruin it. They're going to pollute it. They're going to intoxicate it. They're going to be decontaminated. And we're going to have hazmat suits in church. And I'm going to come in and I'll say, okay, come over here. Go to this place. And you're going to have to get detoxed here for a minute. Because you've been spoiled. You need to quarantine a little bit. Nobody didn't like my joke. Okay. It's time for me to finish. Is that what it is? Okay. Hallelujah. We lose our joy. When we lose our joy, we lose our strength and our stability in Christ. Whenever you know your joy is losing, here's what you do typically. You complain, you compare, you commend yourself, or you compete against others. And that's all under undercurrent of envy. You know, what really drives this is social media. You start looking at everybody's highlights. And compare that to your real day-to-day grind. And you say, that's why you can't celebrate somebody else having nice vacations or going on doing nice things or getting nice things. You can't celebrate it. You tolerate it. Why? Because you're the sin of comparison. You have to kill comparison. You got to make a decision. I'm going to kill comparison. I am who God says I am. So you're unstable and you're not rooted and grounded in who you are in Christ when you compare, when you complain, when you compete, when you commend yourself, when you're trying to bring attention to yourself instead of point attention on Him. Oh, I'm preaching real good today. Praise God. So when you lose your joy, when you lose your faith, when you lose your faith, you lose your faithfulness and loyalty in Christ. Hence, we become faithless, unfaithful, disloyal, and unfruitful. Following the flow and flowing with the Holy Spirit keeps us and prevents us from making wrong and bad decisions. The Holy Spirit says, John says in John 3:16, however, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. Truth is in the Bible. Things are outside of the Bible. Things are the specific day-to-day details. I need to make a decision. Do I do this? Do I do that? You need to make wise, not unwise or foolish decisions. Do I need to go here or do I need to stay here? 35,000 decisions that you need to make, a ultimate decision. I'm going to do it and decide it in Christ. The word of God, when we take communion, is to govern our lives in three areas. What we think, what we say, and what we do. Look at the scripture here. Proverbs 4, as we wrap this up. We're going to pick it up there next week. So don't miss next week. Everybody say, don't miss next week. All right, Proverbs 4, what does it say? This is the Passion Translation. Then my father taught me, saying, never forget my words. If you do everything I teach you, you will reign in life. How many want to reign in life? That means control your environment, your circumstances. Rule and reign in Christ, Romans 5 says. If you do everything I teach you, then you will reign in life. So make wisdom your quest. That's our quest this month. Search for the revelation of life's meaning. Do not let what I say go into one ear and out the other. Stick with wisdom and she will stick with you, protecting you throughout your days. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. She will rescue all those who passionately listen to her voice. Wisdom is the most valuable commodity. So buy it. Revelation knowledge is what you need. So invest in it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So the first foundation, and we're going to talk about these things, but let me get my pointer out for just a minute. Come on, let's lift our hands and thank God for wisdom. So you can see down here, I know you can't probably see it real good. I don't know if you can cut the lights down just a little bit, and we can just turn them back on in a minute. But so just anybody seen the food pyramid? They have what's at the bottom is the foundation. You know, the first foundation of health is get enough water, right? Right? And then you have the healthy food groups. And way at the top is what? Desserts and junk food. Things are not. So that should be the least consumption. So in our life, we should flow from, this is representing the Bible, the Word of God. The foundation of the pyramid is the Word of God. So your consumption of the Word of God should exceed all other consumptions to create a foundation of wisdom in your life. So we always say, you say this, what does the word say? What does the word say? Now the Holy Spirit helps us with the word because he guides us into all truth. So the Holy Spirit will help you find the scriptures you need for your victory. He will help you find the scriptures you need for your victory. And he will show you the specific things that pertain to the details and the specific direction of your life. Lord, what's my assignment today? Lord, what do you have for me today? Amen. And you're going out with faith and joy from your house. Praise God. Walking in the love and honor of God. Now, this represents the church. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We gather at and regularly come to and regularly attend and intentionally hear, receive, and practice truth, not a truth. Because we're in a post-COVID situation where people have now come up with new truths, or they say, my truth. That's my truth. Well, nothing's the truth but Jesus. And nothing is truth but the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Amen? So when you come to church, you should hear from all three. Not a truth, but the truth. Jesus is the personification and embodiment of the truth. God's Word is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We come to tune our ear and hear and receive truth. The Bible says that Jesus said to the devil, there's no truth in him. It's all lies. He's in charge of the world system or the world culture. So we don't need to be deceived and take a false truth or a fake truth. Amen. And so we come to church and in Christ. So next is nature. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:19-20, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens, and by his knowledge the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down to dew. So nature teaches us about creation, and Jesus referred to it a lot in his teachings. The animal kingdom. He uses parables, which are parallels to the spiritual kingdom. He uses nature and natural things to relate to spiritual things. When he told us about not worrying, he said, consider the lilies of the field. Consider the sparrows. Well, he was pointing to nature. He said, go out there and look at the birds chirping and happy and flying around in flocks like they're at our house. They come, the swallows come all on our porch and try to build a nest every week. Can't kill them in Texas. They'd have been gone. We can't kill them. So I'd use the blower and blow them. Blow their work down. But they're always happy, chirping. Those swallows don't have a care in the world. Those flowers popped up, and the weeds pop up faster than the flowers. But the grass grows, and it doesn't have a care in the world. Look at me. Beautiful, tall. Nature. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Come on, let's stand to your feet. Hallelujah. We'll pick it up there next, guys. Hallelujah. We'll get it all sorted out. We just have to.